Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick coming at you today from First Horizon Park. It's a perfect night for a little summer baseball. Not too hot. A little breeze blowing. Mm-hmm. Sounds in action tonight. And first pitch tonight, as usual, as they take on the Charlotte Knights, is 6:35. So come on out. The action will be on 94.9 The Fan. And it's presented by Twin Peaks Family Leisure, Maple Street Biscuit Company, and Social Cantina. Willie Donick and Derek Mason here with you at the ballpark. Brandon Bigsby is back at the studio. Adam Vingan will be off of vacation starting back next Monday. We'll have our full trio, our full synergy, if you will. And we're talking Titans training camp, and we thought it might be funny for Derek to tell you today. Now, Derek, of course, for those who may be new to town and just dropped out of the sky, don't know Derek's background, he played for the best Titans teams in history, the first Titans group, Steve McNair, Eddie George, and company, four 1,000-yard seasons, four more for the Ravens. He is Hall of Fame caliber. But the Titans have done a lot of work to the training facility since Derek last worked there. But tell people what happened to you today after training camp.
Yeah, or was it yesterday? It was yesterday, because today was a lot better. Miss Amy has done a wonderful job and whoever else had their hands in redesigning that whole facility. Because even when you go out to the practice field, and I was thinking to myself, because you got to walk all the way around just to get to the other side, I said to myself, they are using every inch of acreage on this land. They are using every inch of it. And it wasn't that way 20-some years ago, almost 30 years ago, where there was just a bunch of space everywhere. But the inside of the building has totally transformed. It looks great now. But I hadn't been in it in over a year, probably a little bit longer than that. So you come in through the media wave. You know it, Willie, when you're entering practice. So I was cool, got in, got my credentials yesterday, went out to practice, stayed for the press conference afterwards. So I'm figuring, like, okay, how do I get out of here? So I think – and I asked Dwight, I said, Dwight, how I get out? He said, I'll just walk around, you know, the gate would be open or whatnot. I was like, okay, cool. So I walk all the way around. Gate wasn't open. The door that I came into the practice from was locked, so I couldn't get through that door. So I'm thinking, like, how in the heck do I get out of here? So I got to walk back around. And I know I was looking like that guy. I was looking like that guy that – you look at him and be like, what in the heck is
this
he
man's
doing?
Lost.
Yeah, that
this
man's lost. Like, somebody needs to go talk to him.
Somebody help this man.
I'm sure I was that guy. But I finally, we told Adam, when you go to Duke,
right,
and you go to the arena, find an open door.
Yeah, there's check always one
there's
door.
Always open door.
The rule
always
of the gym rat.
Exactly. Always an open door. So I adhere to those rules. There's always an open door around here. So I walked around. I finally found an open door, Willie. As I walk through the open door, I see offices, coaches' offices, what they look like. And now I look further, it's like, coach's meeting room. And I'm thinking, I'm in the wrong place. one of the young coaches that were sitting there. I didn't get his name at the time. But one of the young coaches that were sitting there, he was doing some work on his computer. And I say, excuse me, can you tell me how to get out of here? And he looked at my lanyard and was like, okay, you should have just walked through here like you knew. I was like, no, I didn't want to do that because I didn't want nobody to point me out. So he kind of led me through and then led me out of the door. He was like, yeah, you're fine. So I was like, man, this place has changed a lot.
How funny would it have been if the guy said, sir,
yeah,
I'm going to need to see some ID. What are you doing here? Security, get in here. And you would have had to, like, look on the wall. Like, if you didn't have your – credential, like, look on the
exactly.
wall, like, team picture, that's me,
like, there I am, right there.
That's me.
Right here.
I used to work here
but I'm one of those guys that do not, and because it's just so I've tried to do it. Well, no, I didn't try to do it. I saw somebody else do it and they got rejected, and that day I said I will never do that in my life. I don't like to be that guy. You know, I played here.
No, you know you're talking
yeah,
to.
Yeah, no, I don't want to be that guy.
Here?
If you don't recognize, okay.
Yeah.
All right, I'm just going to go about my business. But, yeah, I didn't want to say that either. So I was just like, hey, can you tell me how to get out of here? I'm kind of lost, and I don't want nobody to be like, hey, come here. What you doing in here?
I've got Eddie George on speed dial. I can prove it. So you didn't pull the Diana Rossini. So
no,
do
no,
you
no,
want
no.
to talk to your favorite yeah. coach? I can get Eddie George on the line. I can call Jeff
Titan?
Fisher.
Yeah. No, I didn't want to hear that. No, but the guy helped. He was wonderful. He was like, yeah, man, just walk through here. I'll take you around. I was like, all right, cool. Because the last thing you want to do is be in a place and you're really not supposed – and everybody's looking like, what is that person? Because they probably don't know. Either who yeah. you are. So it's just like, I was like, all right, I'm good.
Sometimes it's fun to go back to your college or uh-huh. your high school and walk around. You're like, oh, this is exactly how it was when I came here. But sometimes if they do the renovations,
yes.
you're like, wait a minute.
It's like, I used to make a left right here.
Where am I? I can't find my way around my own high school because the times change. We're getting older. Now, let's get into what we want to talk about this hour, and that is another angle on Cam Ward. Good article by Ben Solak. And what he did was he took all the quarterbacks who were first-year guys last year and said, okay, where do they need improvement? How can they make jumps their second year? And obviously, Cam Ward was the one that everybody wants to know about around here. Where can he get better? Running and arm arrogance. And I want to focus on the running part. We hit this as a theme a lot last year. Cam Ward, in his three different stops along the college front, despite mm-hmm. the fact that he played in basically an all-running high school system, which is one of the reasons he wasn't really recognized as a recruit. He was the famous zero-star recruit.
Yes.
He really hasn't had prolific running numbers
no.
at any spot along the college front. And then last year, mm-hmm. similar, 159 yards rushing.
Oh,
nothing
wow.
to write home about. Didn't run it that much. Wasn't super effective. And you contrast that with, you know, we knew he wasn't going to be a Steve McNair who early in his year was running for 600 yards or something. Then, you know, the extreme like Lamar Jackson, 1,000 yards. We knew he wasn't in that category. But a lot of people said he could run well enough. Mm-hmm. He wasn't really effective in that area last year. So is there room for improvement there? There is. The question is, can he do it? And then the other part of it is not necessarily running, mm-hmm. but escaping, extending plays, and then hitting somebody down the field, which you would figure, if he's not running, that should be happening more. Mm-hmm. But Ben Solak did the numbers, and this is a little disturbing. He had, last year, 88 dropbacks where he lost, and these were, let me back up a little bit. His point is if Ward scrambles more, he'll eliminate the low percentage throws he attempted late in the down last season. Mm-hmm. He had 88 dropbacks with a time to throw over 4 seconds. So 4 seconds is a long time.
But that's not
right?
good.
That means the play's dead, and mm-hmm. now you're in the scramble mode, right? You're
yes.
trying to extend the play and make something happen. Now, some quarterbacks, I think of Ben Roethlisberger in his own way. Russell Wilson certainly was one of the best.
Mm-hmm.
And Steve McNair was outstanding at it.
Exactly.
Right? We're like, uh-oh, he's loose. Something bad's going to happen if you're the defense, right?
Mm-hmm.
Cam Ward really didn't have much effectiveness in that category. He had 88 dropbacks. Dropbacks this long are almost universally scramble drill throws. They did not serve the Titans well last year. Nobody actually opened up downfield. Ward had only 5 completions of over 20 yards on those plays. He lost, now the new stat is mm-hmm. EPA, right?
Yes.
Expected points. He lost 107 points on those 88 dropbacks, second only to Bryce Young this decade for the most loss value on extended dropbacks in a single season. And you would think Bryce Young would do well in that, too.
Yes.
It just shows you that at this level, it's different when you're trying to do that. I would think at Miami, you could probably find a lot of highlight plays where he extends the play, waits to hit the guy down the field. He's got the arm to do it. He did that a lot at Miami. Didn't translate. Some of that maybe the receivers he had to throw to, maybe there's an upgrade there. But I'm curious about the running part, the being a smart runner, being an effective runner. Brian Daboll has had a lot of success having his quarterback be a runner a little bit more. Do you think Cam can have significant improvement in those areas?
I think he can. I believe that because if you look at what Daboll been able to do with the past quarterbacks that he's had when he's gotten there, what was their, you know, run per game total compared to the next following year when Daboll was then their offensive coordinator. And in each situation, whether it be Josh Allen or Daniel Jones, and even Dart, you saw
Jackson Dart for
You saw the numbers and attempts go up. They didn't go up by, you know, it wasn't astronomical, but you saw that there was this concerted effort. It even said in an article that they that Daboll was getting Josh Allen to run more as he was developing as a passer because, like Cam did last year, you held on to the ball too long where you could have got positive yards. The extra 2 seconds you held on to the ball, you could have got positive yards by running the football. And Cam, for whatever reason, I think Cam, I think the way I look at Cam running is totally different from the way you and Adam look at Cam running. I look at Cam running, and it's not a sort of a bad thing either way, but I look at Cam running from the standpoint of I think he can run, but I think with him and so many of these other quarterbacks, especially young quarterbacks, they want to prove that they're pocket passers because so many people have drilled in their head, you got to get it done from the pocket. You got to get it done. And they're right. You eventually have to – Lamar Jackson, he eventually had to get it done for the pocket, and he has. Look at Steve Young back in the day. Steve Young was a runner. He figured out how to get it done in the pocket. They end up winning the Super Bowl with that team led by he and Jerry Rice and Roger Craig and those guys. But Cam needs to understand that, yes, you can do it from the pocket, but if you want to help your team – you got to take those opportunities that you have to run the football. You got to make smart decisions and run to get positive yards, not trying to sit back, especially last year. Now, we feel that they've upgraded the wide receiver position. Everybody feels that way.
Yes.
So those scrambles, he may be able to hit guys more this year than he did last year, but you don't want him to rely on that. Listen,
no.
If the plays broke down, if you can't go get us positive yards, make it third and five instead of third and eight, or make it third and three instead of third and ten, you know, that you can do that by help. That it doesn't take much. Just run the football. And Cam did not. He was very hesitant to run last year. I just hope that this year they preach to him that, sort of like the quick pass, take the layup. Well, take the layup with the run, too. If you can get 3 or 4 yards, take it, get down, don't get hurt, and let's make it 2nd and 7, 2nd and 6. Instead of now, you threw the ball away, now it's 2nd and 10 again.
I have that vision in the Rams game, and I was at that game, where he made that incredible threw across his body, desperation, but it was an incredible throw. And Iron Manor caught it. It was a touchdown. And it just electrified everybody. But that was more the exception. There weren't enough of those plays, even though you look at his potential and you say he's got the ability to make more plays. So it's got to be smarter. Daboll's quarterbacks, traditionally, if you look at the stats, they scramble on the higher end relative to the league. And this would be Dart, this would be Josh Allen, this would be Daniel Jones. But my question for the audience, for the listeners, is can Cam do that? Is that his strong suit? Can he be a better guy? We've even seen a couple of designed runs that they've called in the practices so far. And I don't remember very many of those last year at all. So can Cam Ward be a better runner and a more efficient passer on the scramble drill? Tell me what you think, especially with Daboll. 615-737-1025. We're going to get some listener feedback on this and continue to get D. Mace's perspective on it. 615-737-1025.
It's crazy how we look at Cam and we say he needs to run more, but we look at Will Levis and it's like, you need to calm down with your running. Because Will is more reckless running. So you want him to sort
of run.
Yeah, he can run, but he's a little bit more reckless with his running. You need to sort of wrangle that in. And Cam is too cautious with his running.
For example, his scramble rate, 3.7%, that was well below the league average, which is 5.4%. You would think that a guy who's a pretty good athlete like Cam Ward would run a little bit more. He was not super effective in that.
No, he did.
And like we said, even when plays were extended past 4 seconds, the efficiency was very poor. Mm-hmm. So we feel like there's a lot of room for growth there. And can Daboll, who's had success with that, can he bring that out? That's the question. Or is Cam Ward just not a very good runner? That's the question. 615-737-1025. There were games last year where I was like, he could have gotten out of there.
Uh-huh.
He could have escaped the rush. The run's there. Just go. And he, like you said, he was a little maybe reluctant to do it. So maybe that gets better. We'll see. 615-737-1025. We're back with more after this. All right, we're talking about – we have a question for the listeners this hour and here on DVD, and that is, can you envision Cam Ward improving as a mobile quarterback, meaning efficient throwing on the run and better running the ball, just running the ball? He had 159 yards last year. Not very
– No.
And not what you would call effective yards. I think of Steve McNair. I think of Ryan Tannehill. Not reckless at all, but smart and effective. Does Ward have that? I'm not sure, but Brian Daboll would be the type of guy that, if you look at his track record, has run his quarterbacks way effectively. Is that because those quarterbacks were better runners, or Daboll just uses quarterbacks in that way much smarter? We'll see. But you can see a little glimpse of it. We've noticed a couple of design runs. Do you think it starts there, just getting them into the habit of running a little bit more?
I think it has to, but you have to also, it starts in the classroom when you're breaking down film. You know, letting him know, even in practice, because we talked about yesterday, they didn't have the horn. Did they have the horn today? I don't think they had the horn today.
I don't think they did.
They may go hornless out there, which would be a first time, at least, to my knowledge, you know, because every team that I was with, and even last year when I went to the practices, they had the horn. But you can learn by watching the film and saying, for instance, today in practice, there was a play where Cam sort of stood in the pocket for a while. He got bumped around a little bit, and then he kind of threw it away. Well, once you watch the film, you're like, hey, listen. That buzzer has to go off in your head. That clock has to go off in your head. And then you got to go. You got to make a decision, either throw it away now or run. That's where you start to get him used to, okay, take my drop set. 1, 2, nobody's open. I went to my first 2 or 3 option. Nobody. Now I got to go.
Yeah.
Or either put pressure on the defense by attacking the line of scrimmage and forcing them to commit to something, and then maybe you can throw that pass.
I think that's a huge point, and that's where Steve McNair was so good.
Yes.
Because, number one, he was a threat to run.
Yes.
And number two, he was really good at, I'll tuck it, as I'm taking 2 steps as if I'm going to run. He sees the shadow coming after him, and that opens up a guy downfield.
Exactly.
And he was able to, it looked slow. It looked like he was able to slow the game down. When Cam is in a scramble, I see a lot of arms and legs. I see a little bit off balance. He had a really nice one today where he did run to the sideline in front of us, and he whipped one down the field. I think it was to Io Manor. And I'm thinking, if we can see more of that, that would be good. We got some people on our text line. We want to hear from you, though, your opinion on this. Where can Cam make that jump in this particular area? Will that help unlock some things? Because the first thing you got to do is you got to be a threat to run. If the defense knows you never run the ball, then why would they think you're going to run? You're expecting pass. You're playing the tendency there. 615-737-1025. That's where maybe Dable, by designing some more runs, can change his habits a little bit. First texter says, what will it take this year for you guys to say Cam is not the guy? We have a skeptic.
What
will it take this year for y'all to say Cam is not the guy?
I don't know, because that hasn't.
You can't give up that easy.
That hasn't reared its ugly head yet. So there hasn't been a situation where I have said that Cam ultimately he isn't a guy. I want, whether you are a skeptic of Cam or you are a supporter of Cam, just understand the situation that is going on now. Just look at it objectively. The first 7-8 games were bad. He showed you that second half he was developing as a quarterback. Once they sort of tightened some things down, once all the verbiage in the communication was there, he started to gain a little confidence, and he started to play better. Now, listen, ultimately, was it enough? No, it wasn't enough. They need more. But I don't know how people could look objectively at that season and say, well, Cam, he didn't get better at all. I just don't think that's the case.
I think he got better.
Yes.
But here's another thing that, in terms of the running. I think if you're struggling with your passing numbers, uh-huh, which he did, it's a great secondary way to survive and be effective while you get better at understanding defenses,
yes,
reading defenses, watching film, getting a deep, deep feel for what the offense is doing from every position, right?
Yeah.
You can tell he's still learning for that. Now, it's not for a lack of work ethic. He's going to put the time in. But in the meantime, and that's where Steve McNair was so good, and, you know, I use him a lot because you're on the show,
uh-huh,
and also I saw it every week.
Uh-huh.
But every week, if it wasn't happening, passing, and it wasn't happening with the ball control of Eddie George, you knew that there were going to be some game-changing plays.
By Steve.
He was going to keep the chains moving. Smart runs and an occasional big run.
Yeah.
Right? Remember the game in Tampa, that Sunday night game? He just took off and ran for like 70 yards. Game over.
But they need.
But Cam hasn't shown me. I'm skeptical that that's even in him. That's what I'm worried about there.
So yeah.
He's going to have to go about it. Doesn't mean he can't succeed. But if you're – I'm not excited that he's going to really make big strides. I'm skeptical that he can be more of a Daniel Jones or a Jackson Dart. I just don't see that that's
Listen,
in him.
Listen, if you are not a runner, you got to be Peyton Manning. You have to.
Yeah.
You got to be Tom Brady. You have
Drew
to.
Brees,
yeah,
that
Drew Brees.
Kind of, yeah.
You have to be those type of guys. If you're not those type of guys, but you are a really good quarterback, then you have to have those other things that defenses has to worry about. It is. I'm sure defensive coordinators, when Lamar Jackson is on his game, they are pulling out their hair trying to game plan for him,
yes,
as a defense. Why? Because not only has he become a really good passer, but he still gives you that threat of getting a big play with him running the football. So now I got to have a spy running around with him, which
right,
means that takes
somebody
out. I don't
think you need a spy for Cam
exactly,
right
you
now.
You don't need a spy.
Right.
But you need the defense to be aware of his ability to run the football. And right now, I don't think defenses really think about Cam running at all.
So that's the question. Will it be different under Daboll, different in year two? 615-737-1025, our phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Michael says on the text line, how much of his lack of running last year do we think was direct coaching versus him simply not making the decision to become a runner? Do you think he was coached not to run?
I don't think he was coached not to run. I just think in his mind he want to make plays, and he would rather make plays with his arm than he does with his legs. He didn't do much running at the University of Miami. Now, I thought he ran better at Miami than he showed last year, but he wasn't a big runner with the Hurricanes. So his thing, again, is I want to make the play throwing the football rather than running the football.
Adam texts in and says, no, his line stinks so much that he couldn't possibly get better at that. Steve had a great line. Now, that's true. Steve McNair always had a good offensive line while he was playing. How can Cam improve and actually know when to run and not to run with an offensive line that's arguably worse than last year. I don't know. Like,
I don't know what they are
about
now.
I don't know what they are now. But I still think that even if I think Russell Wilson is, is proof sometimes that if the offensive line isn't great, he still could make it happen.
Yeah, because Russell had it in him that, listen, he knew how to run. Russell Wilson knew how to run and when to run. Cam hasn't figured that out just yet. Again, Cam's sole mission is to be the guy in the pocket, be the guy throwing the football, because in his mind, they're going to remember me so much more for me throwing the football than they are running the football. If they're going to remember me running the football, that means I'm not going to be running the football pretty much, because ultimately you're going to get hurt running the football that much. He wants people to recognize and know him as a pocket passer that can run.
Let's get back to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Somebody has already blasted me. I'm going to get to that one next, but I want to prepare my rebuttal. Jeremy, first, who has not roasted me, but he makes a good point. By the way, 615-737-1025, if you want to roast me or anything.
Or roast me.
Bring it on. I think fans believe if Cam doesn't become a Mahomes or Allen, he's a bust. I think if Cam becomes as productive as Ryan Tannehill, that's pretty successful. You know, that is going to be a question, right? Yeah. What would you be sad at? Because if you're coming around to, well, I know he's the first pick of the draft, but let me temper my expectations. He may not be a superstar. That doesn't mean you can't win with him.
Yeah.
And I would be fine if he becomes a winning quarterback.
Yeah, and that's what I try to explain, you know, to our listeners, that, listen, as long as Cam, in my eyes, do I want him to be an elite quarterback? Absolutely. Elite quarterbacks more times than not win Super Bowls, okay, or either get their team to the Super Bowl. I want him, at worst, to be a franchise quarterback. A franchise quarterback is someone that you sign to a second deal, someone that you can win with, someone that is not a liability, someone that can move the ball down the field. It may not look great every time, but he's doing the things necessary to win ball games. I don't think Russell Wilson is an elite quarterback. I think he's a franchise quarterback, and he won a Super Bowl. I don't think Darnold is an elite quarterback, but I think Darnold is a franchise quarterback. He won a Super Bowl. So you can win a Super Bowl with a franchise quarterback. Not many quarterbacks are even in this league. They're just not. There's only so few.
Okay, now here comes the roast. And I'm trying to scramble to get these stats together.
Okay.
But here is the it's a very good point. Rick says Willie is low IQ if he doesn't think Cam Ward has it in him to run. Low IQ, lazy, go watch Miami highlights. He made huge plays with his legs. He just has a higher IQ than you, Willie, and he wants to play more than one game. Okay.
Willie.
Running is a way to get your QB eliminated. That's the point that Rick is making. That you don't want to run too much.
But, Ricky, you ain't have to insult Willie like that.
No,
I think Willie is highly intelligent.
It's all in good fun. But I did pull up. I did want to pull up Cam Ward's running stats because, you know, it's not like Tim Tebow or a, you know, let's
Lamar
just say
Jackson.
Diego Pavia or Lamar.
Back in college.
Oh, my
gosh.
Now, remember, in the college, if you get sacked, it counts as rushing yards against quarterback.
Exactly.
Why they never changed that stat,
I have no idea. Stat. Yes.
It doesn't make any sense. I want to see. But here are Cam Ward's rushing yards. Now, factoring a lot of these will be sacks. He had 58 yards running for Washington State in 2022, 5 touchdowns. So I think some of those had to be goal line. 144 yards his last year at Washington State in 2023, and then Miami 204 yards on 60 attempts, 3.4 yards per carry. So I know some of those are stats, but even from scrimmage, that's not a guy that's running a lot.
No.
Now, like I said before, running yards is one thing, but also there's using your mobility to hit people down the field, and that I know definitely was a strength. At Miami, he had a lot of plays. You do the highlight reel film.
Uh-huh.
You see a lot of plays like that.
But Cam isn't – he doesn't have the speed or the quickness of a Lamar Jackson. So
right.
when you are an athlete like that, you make it, you go, because you know you're going to get a big play. Cam, again, is one of those guys. I've seen him run in Miami. He can get the job done if he needs to. He didn't have to run much at Miami. And he's still in this mode of, again, he wants to prove it in the pocket. I think you will see him running more this year. I think he'll start to get comfortable at not necessarily abandoning the play as soon as he doesn't see his one guy open. I think he's going to go through his progressions. But then now I think coming into this season, he's going to understand that, hey, listen, a three-yard game by me running a football or a four-yard game is just the same as me throwing a check down. Now, instead of, like I said, instead of second and, you know, 10, is second and 7, second and 6. Instead of third and, you know, 8, it's third and 4, third and 3. Why? Because you chose to run and get those 3 yards. It may not be a huge play, but you start doing that more and more, defenses are going to start recognizing that, like, listen, we need to pay attention to Zach because he's getting first downs, or he's moving the chains, or he's, you know, making it go from, you're going from second and 8 to now second and third and 4 or third and 3 because of his ability to run the football.
Rick rebuttals and says, Willie probably used to kill Jerry Rice for going out of bounds or sliding. I call it high IQ. I don't know if that's actually Rick, like, was related to Marvin. Remember Marvin Harrison used to say,
yeah, he'd go down, down every time.
He'd go down.
Go
but
down.
He caught a million passes.
And he stayed healthy.
But just for a reference point, Jackson, I looked up Jackson Dart.
Uh-huh.
So remember, Cam Ward never ran for more than 204 yards in a college season in 13 games for Miami, and less than that at Washington State. Jackson Dart, in his 3 years as a starter at Ole Miss, 614 yards in 2022, 389 in 2023, 495 in 2024. So he was running more in
he
college.
Was a runner.
So it stands to reason he translated that to his first year in the league. Mm-hmm. So we'll see where that goes with Cam. Let's get a couple more texts in there before we wrap it up in the next segment. Let me just get a couple. Let's see. Willie grew up in the trash-talking era of basketball. I'm betting he has a pretty thick skin. Okay, yeah, got to have thick skin, right?
Exactly.
Another person along the lines of, what if Cam's not a superstar? Sam Darnold is not a superstar, and he won a championship.
Exactly.
Okay, yeah, so we'll take that. But I think it starts by going from where he was last year to a big step forward.
Exactly.
However he gets the yards.
He's going to have to make that jump that Bryce Young made. Bryce Young was a better
hopefully without
quarterback.
Losing exactly. his job in between.
Well, hopefully without losing his job. But Bryce Young was a better quarterback that next following year. And you just hope that going into his second season, Cam also develops into a better quarterback. Will he be a finished product? No. But you're betting on, you know, the ability to play the position, the work ethic, him wanting to get better, that all of that will translate. And plus now you're adding more people to his plate, or more playmakers seemingly to his plate. You just hope that helps elevate his game even more this season.
When we come back, we'll have our final movie music trivia match to see if D-Maze can get it. And we will we'll wrap up the show. We'll review some of the big news and notes from the day. We'll set the table for the six with Connor Newton Company. And we'll throw a little tidbit on the sounds that I think is intriguing for their parent company, the Milwaukee Brewers, as the trade deadline for Major League Baseball approaches rapidly. Stay tuned. We're coming back with more of DVD. We're here broadcasting at First Horizon Park. This is our final segment for our show. The six is coming up next. And let me just check in with Brandon. Is Connor going double duty? Is he doing the six? Or are you
Nick Frazier.
Okay.
Did Connor get a nap in between doing the morning show, then going to Titans training camp, and then coming back for the six?
Reports have told me that he did get a nap in for at least a couple of hours between the two.
Okay.
So he's well rested. He should be rearing and ready to go. So
he deserves
it. Nick doing a little bit of double duty today.
Very good. Very good.
Hey, nothing wrong. Hey, the more you can do,
don't knock the hustle.
Hey,
right?
Don't knock
those
the hustle.
Those guys put in the work. So we thank Brandon for doing a great job producing in Connor's place. And Connor will take over at 6 o'clock tonight. Tonight, the Sounds are taking on the Charlotte Knights at First Horizon Park, right here where we are. 6:35 will be the first pitch. You can flip over to the action on 94.9 The Fan, presented by Twin Peaks, Family Leisure, Maple Street Biscuit Company, and Social Cantina. Now, I saw a big story today. Mm-hmm. The Milwaukee Brewers, who the Sounds have been affiliated with, that's always the fun part, right? Mm-hmm. The Predators, their AAA, basically, is in Milwaukee, the Admirals, and it's reversed for Major League Baseball. The Sounds are here, and the Brewers in Milwaukee are the parent club. And the Brewers right now are 67-41. They are leading the NL Central, and they are competing with the Dodgers for the best record in baseball. Now, the Dodgers have a payroll that's about four times what the Brewers have. I mean, it's big market, small market. The Dodgers are loaded. They've got guys taking a summer vacation. They're like, you know, you're injured, just take your time. Just come back in September, be ready for the postseason, and then we'll roll. The Brewers really don't have that luxury, but what they do have is a tremendous farm system. The problem is the Dodgers have a very good farm system, too. But the trade deadline's coming up, and there is a really big name that has basically been publicly said he is on the block. Tarek Skubal, who pitched yesterday, and Derek, you and I were looking at the highlights because we were on the air right as the game ended. Detroit blew a big lead that Skubal was pitching in, and it just doesn't look like it's going to happen. The American League is pretty balanced. There's not too many teams running away with it. But the Tigers, even though they were a playoff team last year and they have Tarek Skubal, it sounds like they're going to trade him. Jeff Passan from ESPN said it's very likely it's going to happen. And usually when that kind of pitcher, one of the best five pitchers in the game, is available, you start hearing about the big market teams. It's the Dodgers. It's the Yankees. It's the Red Sox. It's the Mets. But he mentioned the Brewers are a team that really want to go for it. And I'm really curious what that would look like. First of all, if he goes to the Dodgers, the Dodgers are going to – they'll be worse than the Yankees ever
oh
were
goodness.
About just grabbing all of the best players. And just – there's no salary cap in baseball. There's just a luxury tax, which the Dodgers are happy to pay. And they just each year seem to get more and more loaded. They're going for their third straight title. The Brewers, on the other hand, they usually are – the ones trading guys like Skubal and reloading with smart trades with younger players. But I would love to see the Brewers bring Skubal over in a playoff series where Skubal and Jacob Mizrowski going 1-2 against the Dodgers. Now, that
you just don't want
season.
The Dodgers to get him.
No, I don't want to see the Dodgers get him. Look, I love
Come
Mookie
on,
Betts,
that would help Mookie Betts out, man.
I don't dislike the Dodgers, but it's getting old. I want to see some other action in there. But I usually the small market team doesn't land the big fish
name guy
at the trade deadline.
But I mean,
that would be interesting.
Yeah, I mean, they're in a position right now where they can, you know, if they get a guy like Skubal, that can enhance their team moving forward.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm sure he would – I mean, one, who wouldn't want to go to the Dodgers, especially if you're getting traded there. But like you said, you know, him being traded to the Brewers, maybe that's more of a feel-good story in a sense because he's not going to the team that's already stacked.
It would be a nice little change of
exactly, pace. Exactly, absolutely.
If he went to a smaller market team, and it would make for a great series. Of course, the Braves will have something to say about this too. They're still steady in first place. I know the Braves aren't perfect right now, and even the Braves sound like they might be in the sweepstakes here to try to go after Skubal.
So who won the game yesterday? Who won the doubleheader? Who won the second doubleheader?
The Braves won 1-0. I would have loved if the Mets had swept the Braves. It didn't quite happen because their other ace, Chris Sale, beat them 1-0. But the Braves, I mean, and the Mets, by the way, are now 17.5 games out.
Can they make a comeback?
We can't even. We can't. No, it's over. They're going to be trading guys off. They are going to be
Who do you think they're going to trade off first?
Well, there was some talk that maybe they would consider trading Francisco Lindor, who's on one of those really long contracts where he gets paid a ton. Doesn't look like that's going to happen. But a lot of role players
getting traded.
They might trade six guys.
Oh, goodness.
More like relief pitchers, maybe a starting pitcher, like Clay Holmes, who makes his offseason home here in Nashville. He's a good pitcher. He broke his leg earlier in the season, but He's getting healthy. Mm-hmm. He might be somebody that they go for. But I'm curious. The Braves, the Brewers, the Dodgers, and the one team in the AL who usually isn't going big is the Rays. Mm-hmm. You know, who they're even more frugal, I would say, uh-huh. than the Brewers. But they've got the farm pieces to trade a team like the Tigers. And that's mm-hmm. what they want. They want future guys that they can lock in on. So stay tuned for that. Next Monday is the trade deadline. In the meantime, we'll say goodbye for today. Stay tuned for the 6th. They'll have Connor will have during the 6th all of your report from Titans training camp today to refresh. D-Mace will be back at it tomorrow on a Friday, our final day before the three of us, D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, will be reunited
exactly
on Monday. So we'll talk to you tomorrow at 3.
Be loved, love on your people. Have a safe, blessed, and wonderful day. I love you. The team loves you. You hear that music? Don't you forget about us, because we will not forget about you. We will be back on these airwaves spitting all type of great sports news come tomorrow. And Brandon, as I always say, hopefully you can get it right. I know you will, because you've been listening. We're going to be talking, and
you're going to be listening.
Peace.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.